House Republicans passed a bill this week allowing licensed gun owners to carry concealed weapons across state lines. It was the first major gun bill to go before Congress since two deadly mass shootings this fall, and all four of Utah's representatives voted for it. As KUER's Julia Ritchie finds out, the gun lobby's influence on Republican members of Congress has yet to loosen its grip following shooting attacks.
After the mass shootings in Las Vegas and Sutherland Springs, Texas, we made an open call for any and all questions about guns. We picked the top three and let listeners vote for the one we'd answer. Here's the winner of that poll.
My name is Taylor Timmerman, and I live in Midvale, Utah. And my question is, which Utah representatives receive funds and how much from gun lobbying organizations or pro-gun companies?
The first part of Timmerman's question is pretty easy to answer. All six of Utah's all-Republican delegation received donations from the gun lobby in sums ranging from a couple thousand to tens of thousands of dollars each election cycle. For the most recent election, 2016, the top recipient is not who you might think, either. Representative Mia Love raked in more than $63,000 from gun rights groups, more than Utah's three other House members combined. That comes from the nonpartisan Center for Responsive Politics, which tracks money to lawmakers. In fact, you can search their database by year, amount, and organization for each member of Congress. The gun lobby has historically given more money to GOP candidates than to Democrats. Take 2016 again. House Republicans racked up nearly $6 million in gun contributions. Now compare that to $109,000 for Democrats. But Timmerman admits her question is about more than just raw data.
I'm curious if there's a correlation between these campaign contributions and Utah's legislators' inaction on new gun legislation.
It's possible. For his reelection bid last year, Senator Mike Lee received more than $23,000 from pro-gun groups. About $3,000 of that came from the CEO of Silencer Co., a West Valley-based manufacturer of devices that muffle the noise of gunfire. In June of this year, Lee dropped a bill that would loosen restrictions on silencers. They've been on a list of accessories strictly regulated by the federal government since 1934, and the bill would have removed them from it. Lee's bill and another controversial version of it in the House have since stalled since the two most recent mass shootings, but they remain active pieces of legislation. So to get an honest answer on how special interest money can influence lawmakers, I called up former Utah Congressman Merrill Cook, a Republican who represented Utah's 2nd District. I asked him, do those contributions from the NRA really make that much of a difference?
Oh, yeah. I mean, everybody tries to say it doesn't. But of course it does.
Cook knows better than most. He served in Congress when two teenagers shot up their high school in Littleton, Colorado in 1999, killing 13 people. In many ways, Columbine cemented the NRA's ability to squash gun control legislation. An effort to expand background checks to gun shows that same year passed in a dramatic tied vote in the Senate. Then Vice President Al Gore broke the tie. But the effort later died in the House. And just 1 year after Columbine, Utah Senator Orrin Hatch introduced another piece of legislation to prohibit people from suing gun manufacturers whose weapons were used during a crime. Cook says money talks.
You have to consider that. I mean, you're there. You got to stay there. You got to get reelected. To get reelected, you got to raise a lot of money. Millions of dollars every year. And so, yeah, it definitely affects the vote tremendously.
Adam Winkler is a professor at UCLA and the author of Gunfight, The Battle Over the Right to Bear Arms in America. He says the NRA and other pro-gun groups are effective because they've spent four decades building a massive political operation.
Things really changed in 1977. That's when the NRA went through some pretty big chaos and a group of hardliners took over the organization. And redirected the NRA towards hard-hitting political advocacy. And American politics has really never been the same since.
But there has been some movement in the other direction. Representatives Mia Love and Chris Stewart both signaled they'd be in favor of reviewing restrictions on bump stocks. That's the gun accessory used in the Las Vegas shooting that allows a semi-automatic weapon to fire in rapid succession. Here's Love when I asked her about it in October.
Like I said, we're not going to be able to save everyone from everything, but it's our responsibility to look at what this legislation or what legislation we can put forth to pull back on some of this, on some of these devices that literally take a gun that is legal and turns it into something that would be illegal.
But even Merrill Cook is surprised by his party's snail-like pace in addressing some aspects of America's gun violence problem.
Well, they should have been able to figure out both bump stocks and also the problems with mental health and have done something about that a long time ago. They should have. They didn't. Hopefully they'll learn these lessons, but it's just, this is the natural cycle of human behavior that we're witnessing.
It may be a cycle, but listener Taylor Timmerman and others have ideas for what they'd like to see happen.
Whether that change is limiting groups who have access, institute longer waiting periods, or require mandatory in-depth background check.
Timmerman told us, it just feels like after Las Vegas and Texas and countless other shootings, something has to change. And legislation, any legislation, is the most obvious channel for that. Julia Ritchie, KUER News.